Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. The Bay Area Betches.
Betches!
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hot dang! It's Jessica Dang.
Lisa Wallant. Now that's what I call Wallentainment.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. Hava Nagila Weber.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
He makes us squee, it's Richie D.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
He makes us squee, it's Richie D.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the bird.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Hannah, God, I love that banana. Anderson.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon Out of a Cannon Anthony.
The incredible Edible Matthews Sisters.
Lulu Simon.
Sue Studio.
Give them hell, Miss Noel. Kelly Stump, the Stump Master.
Always ready for Nicole Passaretti.
One day you're Rachel's in, and the next day you're out.
Yes, we can with Howley, Carolyn, and Anne.
Nancy, Cease, and Desisto. We love you guys.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on Ye Olde Bravs. I'm Ronnie Karam. You can find me also on the Rose Pricks Bachelor Roast podcast. We're doing Bachelor in Paradise right now, and it's a fun. So go check that out. And as usual, here I am with my little gorgeous friend, Mr. Ben Mandelker of The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island, which is a cartoon you can look at on YouTube, okay? Hi, Ben.
Whoa. Hi. How's it going?
Good. Okay, everybody. We're on video today, so this is a Crappens On Demand video recap. Hello, Crappens On
Hello.
Demand. If you want Hello. That, go over to Patreon. That's also where you'll find our bonus episodes. This week, we're going to have a really fun one about that show on Netflix about Airbnbs called...
Instant Hotel.
Whoa. I don't know why I can't remember the name, but it's going to be super fun. That'll be up later today. All our bonus episodes are over there, and all our videos are over there. So if you want to watch this on your smart TV, just go right ahead. Go over to Patreon. Also, that's where you get pre-sale tickets for our show. Right now, we're doing a pre-sale on Houston. We're coming to Houston in January. So those tickets are pre-sale on Patreon. You can also get tickets now for our show in Tampa, Florida. We're going to be doing a Tampa and Fort Lauderdale jaunt. So go get those tickets. And then next month, we're going to be in Charlotte and in Nashville. We love coming over there. We haven't been to Charlotte yet, but we love Nashville. So go get your tickets there. And then I'm going to read off the list of all of our cities for 2019. So listen for your city, okay? Charlotte, Nashville, Atlanta, Carrboro, Richmond, Tampa, Fort Lauderdale, Indianapolis, Chicago, New York, St. Louis, Philadelphia, Seattle, and Houston. And for those of you who are trying to get your BravoCon tickets and couldn't, we're going to be there on the 23rd, okay, doing two shows in New York City. So screw BravoCon. Come see us.
Yeah. And also on the same weekend as BravoCon, we have our two Chicago shows in Indianapolis. So, you know, by the way, congrats on BravoCon because they sold out really quickly. So congrats. It's going to be awesome. But we're going to be awesome, too. So don't fret because there is a perfectly wonderful alternative called Ben and Ronnie Con.
Yeah. Congrats and screw you.
Yeah, but for real, we're gonna have a super fun time in Chicago and New York and Indianapolis.
Yeah, so come see those. Now today's recap is The Real Housewives of Orange County.
Whoa. But you know what, actually I want to give a shout out before we dive into Orange County. I want to give a shout out to Gina, not Gina from Orange County, okay, one in New York. This is Gina. She has a wine company called Sans Wine, and she sent us a nice little sampler of her wine, and it's like this awesome, it's actually wine in a can, okay? There's sans additives and sans chemicals and sans pretense. This isn't even an ad, but I'm giving a shout out because she was kind enough to send us a bunch of free wine, And we'd like to support our listeners' businesses. So everyone, go check out her. Go check out her wine. Why don't ya?
Yeah, do it.
Yeah.
And thank you. Okay, yeah, so let's check out the show, okay? We got our taglines today.
Oh, my God. So exciting. And by the way, also, really good episode. I'm, like, cautiously optimistic that Orange County's back on track. It's, like, very exciting.
I'm still too traumatized from Orange County, and I'm still too angry at Orange County. So get your shit together, Orange County. Although, listen, we cover every show no matter our personal feelings. So guess what? We're still going to cover it. So I'm rooting for you, okay? Because I don't want to sit through shit.
Yeah, I'm rooting for it. I feel like the vibe is good. But yes, we finally have our opening lines, and they were just lovely. Just lovely.
Shannon is first, and she's like, huh, the tables are turned, and this time, I'm dancing on them. I'm so happy.
I'm so happy to dance on this table that doesn't have enough wine on it, because David only bought 2 bottles for an entire dinner party. Oh, I love dancing on a table. How I lose my weight? Dancing on tables.
And then we get, who's next? I think Tamara's
Tamara.
Next, right?
She's
Tamara's
like,
next.
She's like, these days, faith, family, and fitness are the only Fs I give. I'm like, how about I give you an F for parenting?
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah.
Tamara. Family, faith, and fitness. Shut up, Tamara. Okay, I can't even believe you're still pretending with this Christian thing. I can't believe the earth hasn't opened up for Satan to welcome you back home yet.
No, I think
who
Satan
is falling for this?
Yeah, well, Satan is, I don't know. I don't know who's falling for it. Maybe that's the other F, falling. So,
falling down, down, down. The 3 Ds where I'm going when this life is over. Down, down, down.
Here are the 3 Ds where I'm going. Down, down, Devin Busters. So,
oops, out of the bay. Shit, need to redo my foot tattoo. She got a foot tattoo.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, she got a foot tattoo with fat, thama, fatness, or fitness, fat, and thama, whatever it is. I mean, listen, it's a much better name for a gym than Cut Fitness.
Faith, family, and fitness.
Yeah.
So, Gina, she said, hers is, wife made mistakes in Orange County, but I'm going to fix them in a New York minute.
I don't think the court system works like that.
Yeah, sorry, you were not allowed to reference a Don Henley song.
Also, yeah, that's just not how the court system works. It's going to take longer than that. Sorry. Be sure to pay your parking on the outside, okay? But put the coins in the meter, because you've messed with the city government enough at this point.
Sadly, I mean, I think everyone thinks that Ronnie is joking right now, but we all know that Gina clearly went in front of, like, every judge and said, well, I know I've made mistakes, but I'm going to fix them in a New York minute. It's like, no, that's not a... That's not a legal defense.
Yeah,
it's been a New York minute, so everything's fixed.
No, community service takes longer than that. Sorry. Also, her drunk drive, which I'm very, like, making fun of her troubles today, and she's had a rough year, so I don't want to go too hard on her, but that thing where she's like, I was at a mommy event, and, you know, I just wanted to go home, and they kept pouring me wine, so I just went. She got that DUI at 3:33 in the morning, as we find out today in texts that were broadcast.
It was 3:43 in the morning, actually.
Well, thank you, Ben! Ah, wow. Thank you, Grassy Knoll!
Well, I read those texts also!
So, then we have Emily. In a town full of blondes, I'm legally brunette.
Most boring movie ever. I think you just made everybody play Legally Brunette in their mind, and we're bored. Okay, Emily, get it together.
Yeah, it should just be like, in a town full of blondes, I have a dog with toilet breath on my face.
In a town of blondes, I really need help over here. I'm doing everything.
In a town full of blondes, hello? Is this on? Hello?
They just cut off the opening. And then Bronwyn is like, I managed to wrangle a family of 9, and I'm still a 10. And then Kelly's is next, and she's like, if you don't want me to cross the line, don't draw a line!
Draw a line! What are you, Pablo Picasso? Nice line, you drew it!
I hate lines!
And then I was just imagining, like, then Vicky sticking her head up and saying, and me, and me. It's her last little.
I'm getting married to Steve Lodge. I'm getting married to Steve Lodge. Okay? Get a job.
I was really struggling all of last week and halfway through this episode to try to figure out who it is that Bronwyn really reminds me of. I thought like maybe it was like Jerry Hall or something. And then I finally landed on it. And I feel like you'll be really excited by this. If you look at Bronwyn, if you really look at her, she's sort of like a glammed up Melissa D'Arabian.
Who's that again?
She was in the Food Network.
Oh, she does kind of look like her. Yeah.
You know, I love having Crappens on Demand because I got to see that wash over you. Because you were like disgusted, and then you were like, and then it like turned into acceptance, and then into a smile.
Okay, that's the path of liking Melissa D'Arabian. Okay, that was how it was on Food Network because she's like, but I'm a mom. I'm like, oh.
I know.
She's like, here's how to make cheap things for your family: Bisquick, hamburger, some lids from a Coca-Cola. Some water and some powdered milk. I was like, that is disgusting, Melissa D'Arabian. And yes, I will make it.
Yeah, because then it turns out she secretly went to like the Cordon Bleu in France. And then she goes on to Food Network star as like a judge. And she's like, totally like, you suck. And you're like, oh my God, Melissa D'Arabian's like one of us.
I know, but when she was on the show, she was like so overly nice. She's like, let's make potatoes and muffin tins because we're too poor for a pan. That's what poor people do. And then she became famous. And yeah, she comes on and she's a total biatch to everyone. She's like, well, I wouldn't have done it that way. Good luck.
She was Bronwyn all this time.
Yeah. I hope we get that kind of attitude from Bronwyn.
I hope so. I think we will. I think it's in there. I mean, I feel like you don't just get a Melissa D'Arabian face. You work for that. Like, that comes from, like, years of passing judgment on people, quietly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially when that's your mother. Like, mm-hmm. We meet her mother, and she's like, yeah, well, my mother didn't really raise me, so that was fun. But she's sure being a good grandma. Lucky kids, huh?
Yeah, lucky kids. So happy.
Yeah. So, yeah, I have hopes for her. So, we see everybody getting along with their day to day, and Jolie and Kelly are playing tennis.
Mm-hmm. And Tamara and Eddie are driving, and Tamara wants to have a party. Like, everyone wants to come see the house. She's just gonna have a housewarming party. And you know, the thing is this: we talked last week about how Tamara and Eddie move every single season. You know, we didn't really even consider how annoying that is for friends having to constantly go to housewarming parties. I think I've mentioned it before, but one time I had a friend who moved into a place, a new apartment. He had a housewarming party, a shitty housewarming party where it was like 95 degrees out, and he put ceviche. He had wings and ceviche outside. I was like, this is like what, it just was like a weird combination. And it was also like really hot, and the ceviche was not under any sort of like ice or anything like that. So he has like a shitty housewarming party, and then they move right afterwards. And 9 months later, they have another housewarming party. And I was like, I'm not going to another house. I will not go.
Screw you. You don't get to warm that many houses, okay?
In 1 year? No. There's a 2-year buffer period between housewarming. And by the way, some of us don't even bother with housewarming parties, and that's okay, too. I appreciate that.
Jerks. You selfish jerks. And Tamara is totally like that, you know? And she probably registers someplace.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at the Island Batch, guys.
That's what my friend did. They registered.
Yeah, so she can just get new shit for her house and then brag about how rich she is when she keeps moving to get new shit. Mm-hmm. So, screw her. I don't believe at all that anyone's begging to come to her house. Like, no one cares, Tamara.
Yeah,
okay,
no one wants to go see your stupid checkerboard tea kettle, which I found out, by the way. Someone told us that it's a brand called Mackenzie's Child, and I went and looked on the website, and I was horrified. And the only thing that's keeping me from really going in on that is because the fact that it's called Mackenzie's Child makes me think that, like, it was like a something that was born out of the fact that someone died maybe at one point, and like it's like in honor of them. So I know that if I'm like, oh God, this stuff is hideous, that all this checkerboard shit is absolutely hideous, someone's gonna say, Ben, that's not really nice, because like Mackenzie was a beautiful daughter, and then she's not with us anymore, and this is like a testament to her. So like, I will not go all the way in on Mackenzie's Child things, because I sense it will come back to bite me. But just know, people, that inside,
well, who cares? I'm like, you can't name your furniture after a dead person just to have people give it good reviews.
I mean, if you go to that website, you will like I don't know, I feel like you'll just like die. It's just like the worst thing you've ever seen in that website. It was so horrifying. I felt like tree vines were coming out of my eyeballs.
Well, you'll look like Tamara then. So Tamara's like, yeah, let's have a shindig, and then Beba invites some neighbors, And Eddie's like, I don't think we should invite Eddie. By the way, Eddie, more energy than ever this season. He's like,
yes,
really? I don't think we should party with your friends. You know, the neighbors never like when your friends are over. Your friends are crazy.
Eddie, bring that big screen charisma.
Yeah, if anything is going to make me not believe that exercising gives you energy, it's Eddie. Okay, because all he does is like, why even bother? Okay.
I know. I was just thinking that when they were on their date later on. I was like, you know, we're like 8 or 9 years in with Eddie, and he still has yet to show any sort of personality.
None.
Like
zero.
Yeah, all of his personality is wrapped up in his oversized striped collars that he wears.
Well, like, he's shown us a lot of bitch energy, you know, a lot of bitch person. Like, he's really bitchy with Tamara, you know, and like, yeah, being mean to Shannon on camera and stuff like that. Like, he's a bitch. He's shown us a personality, but it hasn't been a very good one.
No, not at all.
So then we go over to Shannon's. Oh, and by the way, yeah, Tamara did have to move from her last house because the neighbors hated them.
Is that why?
Yeah, she said it's because they hated the filming and stuff like that. Guess what? Guess who she told? Sashal Madea, okay? Wow. The best housewife of all time.
Wow. Well, also that house had bad mojo, right? Because she also didn't like it because there was an issue, like Eddie's heart. And so she's like, this house has bad mojo. And then there was also that banquet issue, I seem to remember. I don't know. Something. We're both
has
drinking.
Bad
we're
mojo. Both like, how is it now? Like, what do you think you helped it? Now it's had Tamara living inside of it.
I know. I mean, talk about scary stories to
just
tell.
Just burn that dark shit down already. Turn it into a casino.
Check my towel, bitch!
So then, let's see. We're at Shannon's house, and her Sophie is getting ready to go to prom.
Well, it's more of a winter formal than anything else. But she has there's a man in her life who's 3 months younger than her, so I guess that makes Sophie a cougar.
She's just a like I am. He's a kid, but
which means it's time for more of Shannon's, like her ducking under a bridge laugh. It's like her new thing is imagine Shannon on a kayak going down a river, and then there's like a bridge, and the bridge is really low, so she has to duck so she doesn't get hit by the bridge. That's how she laughs now.
And plays the invisible drums, like you said last week.
That's a little physical comedy for people who are watching.
So let's go over to Kelly and Jolie playing tennis.
Oh!
So Kelly is playing against a child. And, of course, Kelly being Kelly is still like, I won! Yes! Kicked your ass, idiot! Loser!
Well, my ball wouldn't have crossed the line if you hadn't drawn one on the court. It's your fault.
So they sit down to talk, and Kelly is referring to Brian as Dr. Reagan, which is just really weird.
Yeah.
It's really weird. You know, it's like, you know my friend podcaster Ben, just podcaster
Ben. You
know
my friend Mr. Karam. By the way, I want everyone to follow Mr. Karam on social media. He's at Ronnie Karam, but you can just call him Mr. Karam.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're talking about, Kelly's talking about how, like, she and Dr. Reagan are going to go into business together on a skincare line because every time Jolie goes off to Michael's house, she comes back with bad skin. And then we see a flashback of Kelly and Brian talking about the skincare line, and Brian's like, a lot of children have two homes and we need to do a skincare line in a travel kit. Brilliant!
If it's in a travel kit, it'll be perfect for split families. Like, okay, so it's a broken family moisturizer? What are you two doing over there? Okay, could you please start running things by us? This is not a skincare issue. She's coming back with zits on her face because, you know, Michael got like a whole jar of M&Ms on the kitchen counter to try and get kid points. Okay?
I can just imagine Brian just making some sort of tone deaf commercial that's like, just because your home is broken doesn't mean your skin has to be. Let's take care of that breakout.
Yeah. It's your family split. Well, that doesn't mean your face has to be. Okay, call Dr. Reagan. So yeah, I was reading my notes and I was like, I think we said that, and we did. So Kelly is like, and guess what, we want you to be the face of it. You're going to be the face of it. And Jolie's like, what does that mean? She's like, it means you'll promote it.
Jolie's like, I'm private mom. People are DMing me saying you're a cokehead.
Yeah, so that's not going on my Instagram. How about that?
Yeah.
She's like, I've never done coke in my life.
Never in my life. Because Vicky said it. Because Vicky.
And then Jolie's like, well, that's why I had to go private, so whatever. I mean, look, mom. I just opened it, and here's a DM, okay? It says, why is your mom a fucking loser-ass bitch? I pity you having her as a mom. If she's not drunk, she's high on coke.
Signed, Vicky Gunvalson. Wow, that was so rude.
I know. Vicky, tiny Vicky, little Vicky.
Signed, Ryan Culberson, whatever.
Yeah.
By the way, who sent that fucking message to Jolie? It was either, like, some like teenager in school with her, which is like, you know what, congratulations, look at Ryan, that's your future. Or it's an adult, in which case it's like, really, like, do what you should be doing, which is like, have a podcast and talk about it, but don't send a message to a little girl.
Yeah. So then Kelly's like, you know, Jolie used to love Vicky. She was so sweet to her. And Kelly's just telling her, there's a lot of bullying on social media. And she's like, yeah, mom, get it. But I shouldn't be getting that when I'm 12, to be honest. Which is
She's true. Right. She's right. Yeah. I mean, that's crazy. I can't believe that someone sent Jolie that message. That is absolutely out of control. Like, where do people get off? What is wrong with people, okay? What is wrong with people?
Yeah. And especially, like, shaming someone's mom for being drunk. Who cares? How did your mom raise you?
Yeah, exactly. You know what? That sounds like the sort of message that was sent from a household that has Mackenzie's child things in it.
Well, I'll tell you this much. If my mother wasn't drunk through my childhood, I'd be dead by now, okay? She would have thrown me off a bridge or driven into a ditch. So I would like to thank alcohol for everything that you've done for my family. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. So now we go back over to Shannon's house where Sophie is, getting her makeup done for the big winter formal. And she then, like, goes off to the bedroom to change into her dress for the big night. And she comes back out. And it's like this, like, bright yellow, like, egg yolk yellow, like, Woodstock. You know, Woodstock from Peanuts. Super yellow short dress. And Shannon's like,
I have an obligation to be the cool parent, lest you run back to David's house with that bitch. So I'm just going to be like, that's really short. I won't reprimand you at all. I'm not angry. I'm not having 40 to 50 negative thoughts about what will happen to you later tonight. I'm happy. Just, it's short. It's a
that
short.
That is sense. A millimeter from your ass. And she's like, yeah, mom. I mean, God gave me nice long legs, so I'm going to show them, okay? And then Sophie gets her her little interview time, and she's like, God created everyone in a special, unique way, and I want to get that message out. Okay.
Thanks, Sophie.
That's fucking adorable, first of all. Thank you for being a positive, lovely young girl. You do have gorgeous long legs. Children of housewives, stop. Okay.
Stop.
You're not here to teach the youth of America. Okay. Youth are not watching this show. Old queens are watching this show. Okay. Congratulations on your great fucking legs that God gave you. Okay.
Yeah.
You're just making me mad now.
You know who else had like tall, long legs? Tall, long, beautiful legs? That bitch on the beach who stole my husband and ruined his family.
You know, God made me with chunky thighs and knock knees, and I just want to spread that message. Okay, there. That's something negative and horrible that everyone has to feel bad about you for the rest of the day. That's a message, Sophie.
God made me with weak back muscles that have caused me to have terrible posture my entire life, and that's really my beauty, Ronnie. That's my beauty. We're all beautiful in our own ways.
Yeah. You just won, Ben. You just won the contest. You just won the feeling contest. So Shannon's
I could
like,
be an OC angel.
Shannon's like, Esso, Dresso, no bueno para mio. Because they're still going to try and shove this Three Amigas thing down our throat. Look, I'm so bitter. It's only episode 2. Usually it takes me at least till 5 to get this bitter. I blame Tamara and Ryan.
Yeah, no ball in house. So Sophie's
house,
like,
Coco.
So Shannon's like, well,
it may entertain some people around here that I have a date tonight also. So I'm going to have fun.
And Sophie's basically like, okay, well, mom, here are the 4 rules. Okay. Don't bring home anyone you don't know. No dancing with strangers. Don't drink to the point where you black out and we have to pull you away from the fridge at 3 a.m. while you're trying to stuff cream cheese into salmon when we all see it's just a Jell-O pudding pop that you've pulled from the back of the fruit drawer. And number four, have a good time.
Yeah, she goes, well, those are my rules too then. Yeah. So.
Who's the mother? They have zero drinking from you. They grow up so fast.
So Kristen, the date arrives, and she's like, you're so handsome! And you match Sophie with your yellow tie and her yellow dress, except your ass is covered! Wow, look at that, wow. Sophie.
Look at that. Wow, even Sophie's found someone who cares about her, who wants to coordinate with her. What a feeling! I remember when David used to want to coordinate with me. That was before he drank tequila when he got sushi.
All right, Christian, just tell me. When Sophie is trying to lose a little weight, are you going to stand there eating chips right in her face with an angry look on your face? Okay, no? Okay, you can get married. Have sex, drink, do whatever you want. I don't even care at this point. Okay?
Here lies Shannon Bedore, killed by the potential of her daughter and the whatever that kid's name is. Yellow bow tie.
Christian, we're on dress patrol. Okay, cover that butt. Keep that butt covered. She's like, well, I mean, you know, you have good judgment. I think do not do drugs, Sophie. If you do drugs, she's like, I'll die. She's like, you will die.
Yep. That's how I was raised. And look at me. Look at me.
That's how I was raised. And look at me. So you see, I think you're just born with it, baby.
Maybe you were born with it. Maybe it's
drugs-aline. Maybe it's addict-aline.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
We're a nation that's obsessed with celebs, and the more private they are, the more we want to know. I'm Lisa Sloan, and every week in Fabulous Magazine, we talk to our most loved female celebrities, whether it's about fashion, beauty, or more personal matters. Now I'm going one step further with this series of intimate and tell-all conversations. This show is all about the relationships and the experiences that really shape a woman. If you subscribe to the podcast on your app, you won't miss an episode. I'm Lisa Snowden, and this is Things I Told My Daughter.
Okay, so now we go over to Emily's house, where Emily is wearing her favorite look, which is something dark, like something black, that goes up to her chin, but has strange cutouts in the shape of pea pods.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot about shaming on this show this year, body shaming and stuff like that. I think Emily's fucking beautiful.
Gorgeous.
But I'm not anti-clothes shaming. Get your shit together over there. Simple. I mean, meet somebody who can just be honest with you and say, no, you need a Ronnie. And listen, I'm no fashion maven. I wear Old Navy every day.
Well,
but it's cute Old Navy, okay? It's not cutouts. Like, you need help.
I want, you know what I would like for Emily? This is not going to be good fashionable advice, but it's just what I would like. I want her to start dressing more like Dorothy Zbornak. Just long, flowy things.
Like
I would
be very happy. Caftan type things.
Yeah, I would really like that on Emily.
Yeah, me too.
Just
yeah,
for the
less
fun of
like the hairspray and the really thick makeup and foundation and just more like let it hang out, girl.
I think she would actually, even if she did sort of go in like a caftan forward way, I think that would look really lovely on her, you know, like instead of these ugly ass tops that are from like the non-lingerie section of Victoria's Secret, you know?
Yes. Also, something I suggest that Emily get is a fly swatter, which is what my mother used to slap us from the couch. Okay. Cause you need that. Your kids are terrorists. Okay.
Yeah. It's time to get handcuffs and like, it's just like, or just tie them down.
Crates.
Like, You know what? Bette Midler had it right in Big Business when she tied Seth Green to a post in the middle of FAO Schwartz. That's what Emily needs to start doing.
Yeah. Emily, you need a bunch of dog crates, okay? So
cages, fly swatters, and rope.
Yeah, pretty much. Go for it. Mm-hmm. So Emily's like, well, we're having a party, so maybe Shane will come home tonight.
Yeah, because it's for Perry. Perry is her mother-in-law, so they're gonna be celebrating her birthday, and so she got like a private chef and everything, and she's like, well, there's gonna be free food that I'm not gonna make because apparently I'm a shitty chef. So maybe Shane will come home tonight for that.
Emily put on Twitter last night before the show started. Hey, everybody ready to beat up on Shane? I'm ready.
Queen of sarcasm.
So everybody comes over and it's cute. The kids are still running around like maniacs. They have a private chef and a helper. You know, it's hard to feel bad for Emily when you just see her surrounded by employees. You need to be like Bronwyn and make the employees hide in the food pantry so it looks like she's doing everything alone.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. And Perry comes over and she's dressed like she's going to the Oscars. She has like this bright red Pretty Woman dress on, and she has a white stole. I mean, she's ready to, you know, accept her award for best supporting actress, yeah. You know, in like Memories from the Heart, the Perry story, you know.
Poor Emily's like, well, I think Shane might come. Maybe I invited him. The whole family has come together. So,
I mean, how is this guy a maybe for his mom's birthday that's being held in his house? Like, how is that a thing?
Yeah, he's a little prick, that guy.
He is a little prick. So they, you know, they get served this weird olive salad thing with a even weirder caprese next to it. And then they start talking, because, you know, I'm going to talk about that. But so they're talking about how Shane is studying for the bar, and there's all this pressure, which, you know, I understand. I've had a lot of friends who've studied for the bar. I think most people have. And it is a lot of pressure, etc. And so Shireen, who is Shane's sister, is like, you know, it's like when I told Dad, because Shireen is a lawyer also, she goes, you know, what happens if I pass or if I don't pass? Well, if you pass, we go out to dinner, celebrate. If we don't pass, hey, we're still hungry, so we're gonna go out to dinner. It is what it is. But of course I passed, because I wasn't about to Shane it.
Yeah, I mean, it's the third time, so, you know, that's a lot of dinners he's getting for not achieving much. So Emily calls him. She tries to FaceTime him so he could say happy birthday and whatever. And he doesn't answer. And instead he calls the English girl with the weird accent. The weird.
I made a cake. Made a cake. Oi.
Oi.
That I'm girl. With this cake right now.
So he calls Eliza Doolittle instead. And she hands the phone over to Emily. And she's like, hi, Shane. I'm so glad you could call. And he's like, I'm getting hounded by everyone. Like, it's getting to be a degree of harassment. No one respects that I said no. So what am I supposed to do? Call and say, hey, how you doing? Yeah, you little fucking asshole. Your wife's here doing all the work for your fucking parents while you're jacking off in some library somewhere. Get out of here. You're an adult. By the way, and you can study and still do your job as a fucking husband.
Exactly. Guess what? Who bought those dinners for your consolation failed the bar exam, you know, anti-celebrations? Yeah. Who footed the bill? Your mother, whose birthday it is, and she dressed up because she thought she was getting an Oscar, and you're not even there to celebrate her fake Oscar.
Yeah, and the least you could do is go on FaceTime and say, sorry, I couldn't be there, guys. I'm with you in spirit. Happy birthday, Mom. Click. Does that take a lot of time? That would have taken less time than you calling and being a fucking asshole. Emily, leave him. What are you even doing with this fucking loser?
Okay? Yeah, you calling to check in on your mom to say happy birthday is not going to be the make or break moment at the bar, okay? I'm sure, like, all that information about, like, torts and, like, voir dire is still going to, like, it will still survive being able to FaceTime your mom.
He's a little asshole. And listen, everybody on Orange County gets divorced, and I hope you're next. You deserve, and I know that there's not a whole lot of, like, what do you call it, when you get something to do something, like, if I said, Ben, if you get an A, I'm going to give you $20. That's some motivation. Guys, I'm really incentive. Stupid today, okay? Incentive. I would never pass the bar. Incentive. So I know there's not a lot of incentive to divorce somebody who makes zero money, because you're going to still be having to take care of those kids and give him half of your... You know what? Never mind. Don't divorce him. Keep him and just get a crate for him. Get a crate for him. Get four crates.
He's just a piece of shit. And so he's like, so I'm supposed to say hi, how's it going? And she's like, okay, Shane, forget it. And he's like, fine, bye. And he just hangs up. And it's just like, what a piece of shit. You know, he should be so thankful that she has taken on all this stuff, you know, that she's affording him this opportunity to study for the bar.
Well, I will say this, ladies. If a man that you're not even dating proposes to you on GChat, he's probably not going to be a prince.
Yeah, he probably will not be a G.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. So Emily wants more respect. And then, by the way, the show does my favorite thing, which is that when they hang up, they start playing this like super tense marriage is crumbling music. I just love that. I'm always like, this is so intense. I love it. It really gets me every time.
It's like its own theme on this show. It's probably called They're Getting Divorced by Alan Menken, or whatever that guy's name is.
Getting divorced by Alan Menken.
So next up is Bronn, who's totally over her shitty childhood, and you can tell by the little girl pink suitcase that she has. I really thought that was for a little girl.
I didn't even notice.
It's her little pink kid suitcase that she's like going to run away from home, you know, like go plant herself at the other end of the cul-de-sac.
Yeah. Yeah, she's like an Inside Out. So So she's getting ready to go travel somewhere, and we meet her. Now we get to meet her mom, Dr. Deb, who is basically like Electric Daisy Carnival and Burning Man and Hot Topic and just like pipe cleaners all mixed up together.
Pipe cleaners. Yeah, she's crazy. She's like Betsy Johnson kind of a look. Mm-hmm. And she's wearing this like like body tutu that see through with like a diamond nose sticker, but you know when people put them on their forehead or whatever, but it's right in between her eyes, which is weird.
Yeah, she really. Yeah, it was like, you know when you create like a character in a video game and you can make like eyes like super wide or small or high or low and everything. She just decided I'm gonna be wacky and lower everything right into the middle of my face.
Yeah. Yeah, she's got a wacky look coming on. So, and she's wearing the diamond nose sticker, and she's wearing a necklace that says like "Medicine Woman." I was like, yeah. I would not talk. I'm sorry, Dr. Quinn. No, yeah. Get out.
And then she has another one that says "Ego." So it's like, okay, no. she's like a lot, etc. And then when Bronwyn's talking about how she's gonna surprise Sean somewhere or something, she's like, "Oh my goddess, wow, this is gonna be great for you. You're gonna sleep in." I was like, "Oh man." I do not know how that's going to play well in Orange County, saying progressive things like, oh my goddess.
Yeah, so Bronwyn told us a little bit about her childhood last week, which sounds insane. And we get more this week. She's like, when I was young, she was in a rock band and she wanted to be famous. And then she decided to become a holistic doctor. And then she went to Burning Man. And that's what really changed everything, because now she wants to like connect with energy and she talks to angels. So that's where we're at.
Yeah, that was funny, because this whole interesting story ends like, and then she went to Burning Man. You know, the thing is this, like, I feel like I know a lot of people who go to Burning Man, and, you know, I support their desire to be around people who don't bathe. But the thing is this, though, is that, like, most people, like, when they leave Burning Man, they leave it there. And this woman was like, no, I'm going to do Burning Man all year round.
I don't know them that leave it there. Like, they saw parties together, and they're like, Ronnie, would you like to join our community? I'm like, no. What am I, mayor complainer? I will never make it at Burning Man, okay? I'll be like,
we should play crap. We should do crap and should do Burning Man.
Oh, hell no, I'm not going to Burning Man. It's like in August, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like in 2 weeks.
No.
Can't you tell? Because there are starting to be signs in stores that say, burners, welcome. It's so annoying. But I mean, I hear it's like an amazing experience, although I do know someone. I once went on a date with a guy who then went to Burning Man, and his brain was broken by it. And I'm not even joking. He became a crazy person. He changed his name to words that were like not like they were made up words. And then he threw himself off a bridge, wound up in a mental facility. And I mean, like, and then he like ultimately culminated with him like on his family's farm singing weird songs on YouTube that like would segue into chestnuts roasting out an open flame. It was a really strange journey for him, and a great endorsement for Burning Man.
Yeah, well, we're giving a lot of credit to Burning Man. It's drugs, okay? And I love drugs. I'll take acid at home. How about that? I'll do acid at home, and then I'll just make s'mores on my stove.
Hey, Burning Man, how about sitting on my couch, man? How about that, huh?
How about air conditioner, man? How about that? Okay, we all sit around, we take drugs, and we turn on an air conditioner.
How about watching Bear for Contessa, man? Okay, how about that, huh?
Yeah. Also, you should have your children taken away for leaving them with this woman. Okay, there I said it. So she is basically going to go have romantic time with her husband. And Bronwyn has a pretty good attitude. She's like, you know, when I was growing up, my mom didn't have a lot of time, which is a very nice way to put it. So I was sent around to different family members to stay at their homes. So, yeah, my kids are getting a great grandma, but that's nothing like my mom, which is good. It's good. Yeah. It's like, good. It's, and
It's so she's fun now. I'm so happy. I'm smiling from pure happiness. I'm not feeling any other emotions that might seem like resentment at this moment. I'm totally happy. And basically it was like that. It was like that Melissa D. Arabian moment. I was like, that's when I noticed. I was like, that's who she is, Melissa D. Arabian, because I could see her bitch flower starting to grow a little bit.
Yeah,
right there.
When the disappointment blooms, you see Melissa. So then we go over to Kelly, who's in Gina's new house, and she's like, they just built this? What's in here? It's a new house? Whoa!
Oh, it's a house! It's a house! So we see that empty room that Gina was walking around in last week, where she had that box that said antiques. And now that antiques box has now been put on the floor with various candlesticks in it. And so there's like, again, there's like that giant, like oversized clock that's just like leaning against the wall. She's like, yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do in this room. I'm probably going to turn it into a, adult hangout space, you know, with like a giant clock that we could pretend to reenact the last scene of Back to the Future on, maybe. And then like, look at the antiques box and think about antiques, you know? I was like, okay. And then she goes into her living room.
She wants to make it a pool room, a pool table room. Like, wow, you're really not doing a great job of getting rid of your husband, okay? You're not going to give him a pool table room in a house that's not even his, Gina.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the first room is going to be the pool room. And then they go into, like, the living room, and there's another oversized clock leaning against the wall. I'm like, this lady has a problem.
She really does, because she's got that many clocks, and she still doesn't know it's 3:33 a.m. or whatever, 3:43 a.m.
It's like, hey, it was like 7 at night. It was after a mommy party.
So it's Valentine's Day, and she's like, I just realized it's Valentine's Day, and I have that date tonight. That's such a nutty time to make a date.
Yeah. She's like, yeah, it's so weird. He's like 10 years older than I am. And, like, we're just, like, different people because, like, I like to text, like, a bunch of emojis, and then he, like, doesn't use them back. I mean, he actually doesn't even text me back. I've just been texting, I've been texting my ex, basically, just my ex.
Yeah, probably. And she's showing Kelly pictures, and Kelly goes, oh, is that his ex? And she's like,
no, it's his daughter.
She's like, oh, well, we're in Orange County. Who knows?
True.
So they go to pick up outfits and talk about the guy, and then... is Matt dating? And she's like, I don't even know. I mean, I ask him and he sporadically says no. Whatever that means.
Sporadically, I learned that from my new boyfriend. He uses words like sporadically and respite and guacamole. Yeah,
he said respite.
I mean.
So this is awkward, because we know what happened with Matt, what ended up happening with Matt. So it's awkward to see this. She's like, I'm really nervous to see Matt's reaction to me dating. I'm putting the needs of my family before my own. But look, I'm just glad you're out of there. I'm glad you're in your own house at this point.
Yes, me too. So now we go over to Irvine, where Bronwyn has like a condo, a little pied-à-terre. Sean comes over and they're like all ready for Valentine's Day. And we learned that when they lived in Miami, they had like a little, what they called a love shack, where they'd get away from their 14,000 children to have sex, essentially. So they got a new one in Irvine.
Yeah. I like that she could just buy places, for certain events, Yeah. Emily, listen up. You buy this place, you put your children in it. Okay. And then you lock the door. Okay.
Yeah.
So they're getting all romantic, and she starts talking about the girls and how she's going to be friends with all these new girls and stuff, and how she was talking to Gina needing help with her kids because they're all over the place, and it reminds her of when she, when he was working all the time, and finally one of their kids said, bye-bye, Daddy. He thought that was the name of the dad.
Yeah.
And he's like, and then I changed, and now everything's perfect.
Yeah. It's like, if we'd only talked more, we'd have known that we would have been happier with less money and, like, being happier and being around each other. He's like, can we have sex yet? Why are we talking about this?
Yeah, and I can't – he seems very nice. But I'm having trouble believing that he's a good person because he's a husband on The Real Housewives of Orange County.
I know.
There is no bigger strike against you than that.
Exactly. And I really want to call him Frank, but he's Sean. But I'm like, you're a Frank. I know you're a Frank. And I think that's going to come out because I don't believe his name is Sean. He's a Frank.
He changed it to Sean.
Yeah, I'm like pretty sure his name is Frank.
I'm kind of bored. Okay, so then over at Valentine's, Eddie and Tamara are in the car, which is basically... their place to shoot at this point.
Yeah.
And she's like, where are we going? Jenga.
Is that crazy how we never did Valentine's Day? Oh, my bitch.
He's like, it's a surprise. It's a surprise, Tamara. I'm like, would you wake up? You're driving, sir.
Sir, what's the point of putting on that 10-inch collar if you're just going to crash your car, okay? You want to make it to the restaurant.
So she's like, yeah, we don't normally do anything for Valentine's Day, right, honey? Right? Remember that time we were dating? You're out in the country and you sent me chocolate covered strawberries.
I was like, I don't believe that because he doesn't remember it. And I don't believe that Eddie would ever send somebody chocolate anything, okay? He's Eddie.
No. Yeah, he's Eddie. He would send her, like, some Wasa crackers.
No, he would send her, like, some meat. He would send her, like, you know, some duck fat or some shit.
He would send her, like, something from, like, the Sharper Image. Like, hey, look, it's something you can massage your ankle with.
But she'd never figure out how to use it, so it would stay in a box, you know?
Yeah. So then we go back to the apartment in Irvine, and Bronwyn has done a costume change into something sexier. And she leads Sean into the bedroom. I was like, okay, I don't know why we needed to have like a callback to the scene we just saw, but sure. Okay.
I don't know why you need a mic pack for this, but please let it end here. Okay.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you for the follow up. And so then Then we go over to Emily, who's her Valentine's Day is her with the kids climbing all over her and Fisker going to the toilet, drinking out of it, and then going over to harass Emily. Because Fisker's just angry. Fisker's like, you're going to put me with these demons? I'm going to make you pay for it. You are the one.
Well, I think she's kind of making out well here. I mean, look, what's your other alternative? Shane's there.
Shane.
Is that a great Valentine's Day either? No. You win.
Yeah, she actually got the better option.
Yeah.
Toilet breath Fisker and wild children.
So then Eddie and Tamara are at a restaurant, and he's bought her Valentino shoes. And she's like, I think Eddie might have a fetish. Every holiday I get a new pair of shoes. And what's really weird is they're all in his size. So.
And there's always like Lady Gaga tickets that come with them. So it's weird.
I just listened to their order because I know that they're keto and so are you. So it was very helpful for you.
I didn't know they were keto. I wasn't paying attention to their order. What are they ordering?
It's them. Ceviche and then a filet and miso Chilean sea bass. There you go, Ben.
That sounds delicious, by the way. It makes me hungry.
For the week.
I have to like make chicken after this anyway. Because of keto, you can never just go and get a snack. You never have snacks. You have to make a whole big thing like chicken.
You can get a rotisserie chicken from the store.
No, I'm going to make Indian butter chicken, makhani chicken, chicken makhani. We're going to see how it goes.
Well, have that with a nice glass of non-compassion, and you're going to have a great dinner. I'm excited for you.
Can you stuff that with cream cheese? I don't think so.
Mm. So Tamara's like, what a good laugh I have. And I was like, why am I sitting through Tamara scenes? Get the fuck rid of Tamara already. What is she even doing here? Getting shoes and talking about nothing.
Yeah, exactly. And they started talking about Shannon because Tamara's like, Shannon looks good. I'm going to have to get mad at her soon. And Eddie's like, Eddie's basically saying, so you excuse everything that Shannon did last year. Like, but like, are you going to be also, will you also be excusing with Vicky? And at which point they basically start talking about Vicky.
Yeah, all that nothing that Shannon did last year. You know, Tamara knows how housewives work and she knows that no one has memory of anything that happened the season before. But I do. And Shannon didn't do shit to you last year, okay? Except not call you enough. And then she apologized. And then you talked about her all season, trying to turn everybody against her.
Mm-hmm.
Then you were a ringleader in all of this. Well, Shannon was the one that said that your husband was abusive. Well, Shannon, you know, Shannon's drinking yourself silly. I'll stop.
So they started talking about
all season to hate on this idiot.
So Tamara starts talking about Vicky and how, like, she can be super compassionate, and then she can be – well, but she starts talking about how Vicky – she's like, it's so weird. It's because Vicky was, like, calling me saying how much she hates Gina, but then, like, Gina calls and says that Vicky's being super nice to her. So obviously I have to ruin both of them. So – and then we see, like, the screenshot of this text chain that's going on between the Tres Amigas, Shannon, Tamara, and Vicky. I mean, they're talking about Gina's DUI, which Shannon is the first one to report. She's like,
I just heard that self-medicating bitch just got a DUI.
And she said, I was self-medicating, dot, dot, dot. And Tamara's like, called me too.
And then Vicky jumps in and she's like, wow, whoa. And then Tamara says, not good. And Vicky says, so ridiculous. Another jailbird. Ellipses. Irresponsible. And Shanna's like, yep. And she blew a stop sign earlier in the month. So stupid. And at 3:43 a.m., 5 question marks.
What? I mean, a stop sign. First, a stop sign. I mean, if there's anything I've learned from David is that stop signs do not work. He was like, green light to divorce. But I'm happy. Oh, happy. Happy.
Oh. So, yeah. So we see that. So we know that Gina's story is now fishy about getting caught with a roadie or whatever. With a friend with a roadie.
Got a little drunk. Got a little drunk trying to get leggings. That's all.
Yeah. So Tamara's like, yeah, you know, this part of me that just doesn't trust Vic anymore, but I see her trying to be a mother, and then she's a bitch to people. And Eddie's like, well, why would she do that? She's like, she's the most insecure person I've ever met in my life, which is totally why I moved to Dakota to compete with her and be in the country club. Like, you're even worse, so.
Yeah, exactly. So now it's time for Tamara's big housewarming party, and she's getting everything ready at her house. I also noticed that they have like a grand piano in the living room. Why is there a grand piano in Tamara's house? I mean, I'm holding out hope that maybe Spencer plays, but like, I just can't imagine really anything pertaining to like piano playing happening in that family.
Yeah. That doesn't seem like the most talented family on the block. Okay, just putting that out there. Okay, so now let's have a break to skewer Ryan some more since he's in this scene. Fuck this guy.
Fuck
so
him.
Did
oh,
you
yeah,
read these texts?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I did.
Oh, Ryan,
I did.
So glad he's still on the show. So last week we covered how he's a transphobic, racist piece of shit.
Yes.
And this week we can talk about what an abuser he is to women. Mm-hmm. Isn't that fun? Aren't you guys glad you came to the show?
Yeah.
So Sarah Jane Rodriguez, who was his ex that we saw on the show, says, you talk shit about my daughter several times today. She's just a child. You're supposed to be a grown-up. And he says, and she acts like a little bitch, just like you.
By the way, these are text messages that Sarah put onto her Instagram. She basically blew up his spot.
Yes. And she said, I don't think you comprehend what you've done to my family. And he goes, so you can both get fucked. And she says, he says, you're trash, fuck off. And she says, you are disgusting and abusive. And he says, now I'm going to talk to whoever the fuck I want. And she said, your games are unreal. And he says, go kill yourself. And she said, it's not a joke, hello. And he says, fuck you, 1,000,000 exclamation points. And he says, this one's for you. And it's a picture of him doing a close-up shot of a bullet. So,
yeah, holding a bullet in his fingers.
Yeah.
Like, real classy, this
nice
guy.
Nice work, bravo. Just keep this motherfucker on until he shoots somebody up.
Yeah, he is, like, just, like, the epitome of everything that's wrong with this country, I think. Truly.
He's disgusting.
Truly, truly. And he's got terrible fashion, too. Yeah. So, so he is just, like, a piece of shit. Huge, huge, huge piece of shit. So, I hate him, and I'm like, I can't believe I actually had more energy to rant about Mackenzie's child than I did about Ryan this week, but I'm just like, I'm just exhausted
by
him.
Well, it doesn't need to be
awful.
A huge rant. It's just like, fuck no. You, and it's just another example of Bravo just keeping somebody on who, no, get rid of him. And then Tamara making a storyline, I mean, just gross. Okay, so
yeah,
Kelly and Shannon are...
Shit.
Yeah, so Kelly and Shannon are driving over together, and Kelly's like, oh, I don't want to talk to Vicky. I don't even want to talk to her. Why don't I have to see Vicky? Oh.
And Shannon's like, well, who else is going to be there? And Kelly goes, Joe? She's,
Joe who? Who's Joe? Who's that?
Joe Mama?
You. God.
Oh, that's funny. You know that, like, for a brief second, Joe from season one was watching and was like, oh, shit, was I invited to a Housewives event?
Yeah. So Emily and Gina are driving separately, but they're talking on the phone. And Emily's like, well, last time I was there, I tried to kill Kelly, so my goal is not to threaten anyone today. It's like, listen, if you can threaten anybody and get away with it, it's at Tamara's house.
Yeah, exactly. We encourage you to threaten someone. That was your best moment of all time, Emily.
Jeez.
Second to when she told Shannon to shut up at the reunion, which they also showed. So now we're back at Tamara's house. She's like bossing a kid around. And, you know, this Real Housewives of Beverly Hills music is really being just like spammed out onto all the Bravo shows because they played more Beverly Hills music. Where was it? Was earlier this week where they played it, maybe on Below Deck or maybe on Potomac. But this time it was the one that goes, bo, 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 bo. You just trust me, that's how it goes. It's very much like Lisa Rinna going off to, you know, to try goat yoga music.
To try goat music. I have all over my microphone. Oh, those things you find out in videos.
Yeah.
So they're moving tables around, and there's a caterer. Tamara's like, why don't you move that table, caterer lady? And it says, Jennifer, lead caterer. Hey, I feel totally ripped off from my years cater waitering. I was never the lead fucking caterer. I'd have that shit all over my IMDb right now.
You were doing more ensemble work, you know.
It's like
every catering company is different.
Yeah. So everybody starts arriving. Gina's first in her terrible fake fur Flintstone thing, and it's just so embarrassing. I just every scene with Gina, I'm like, God, I'm really feeling for Gina right now.
Yeah, she is really going down a bad path. And then so Gina and Tamara are talking about the fact that Bronwyn's going to be coming. And Tamara goes, ha, everyone knows this Bronwyn but me. Which I was like, oh, shit. That means that Tamara is going to do one of two things. She is going to turn the group against the new girl. Or she's going to weaponize the new girl against someone. So I'm excited to see how that goes.
I think that Tamara's gameplay this season is going to try and be the new head bitch in charge. Like, since Vicky's not there. Mm-hmm. I think she's going to try and be a victim about everything and let everybody else go. I think she's going to try and do her Tamara checkers where she's like making everybody else.
Yeah. Well, she's got the checkerboards.
Yeah. So then we see Eddie in the kitchen and he's just looking at the food and then he picks up a piece of cheese and he's like looks right into the camera and sniffs it deeply and then eats it. I'm like, oh, this guy's such a creep. Okay, so then Tamara, like, he's been creepy with the cheese. I don't like it.
I know, he is creepy and bland.
And he has hateful eyes. A lot of the men on this show have just mean person eyes.
Well, you think Tamara's going to marry someone who doesn't have hateful eyes?
True. So let's see. So Kelly and Shannon come in, and Shannon's like, wow, isn't this pretty? She's like, beautiful. She's stepping it up. Are we in the Hamptons? Whoa. So they go over to talk to Emily, who's Emily and Gina, who are there. And Emily's like, wow, you look so good, Shannon. And Shannon's like,
oh, thank you.
That's the Shannon Vidor.
Shannon Vidor hates someone voice.
Yeah. Very much. Thank you. Thank you. Why, thank you.
And then that smile. She's like, thank you.
Oh, yes, thanks. Ha. That's a sincere laugh from me. Ha. Am I excited?
Sorry. I thought you were done.
Note that my head did not drop down below my shoulders when I let out that laugh. Yes.
I had a slight head tilt, and my posture was very straight, and I said, thank you. Thank you. Am I excited to see Emily?
No.
Nothing to say to her. Sorry.
No.
In case you didn't hear it.
No.
Have anything to say to her?
No. No.
Am I being a bitch? Yes.
So Kelly tells Emily, you're skinny. And she's like, no, I'm not. I need to get on whatever Shannon's doing with the Shannon. I need to get on the Shannon. And Kelly goes, yeah, she just stopped eating. And she goes,
oh, no, I eat clean. But you can see I'm still in my hateful pose, and it is burning thigh calories because I'm squeezing them together because I hate you so much.
I eat clean. Clean, it's a concept that some people know about. It's like how my soul is clean, and Emily, yours is full of dirt and muck. Bitch, I'm happy, I'm calm. And present, yes.
And Kelly's like, yeah, she eats clean and walks up hills. Don't you see her on Instagram? And Emily goes, no, I didn't see it because she blocked me on Instagram.
Jen's like, oh, well, you know, I mean, I rarely even go on the Instagram. I mean, what is that? Like you like log on and they sent you a graham cracker? Lord knows I don't need that. Who needs a graham cracker?
I don't even know where I stand with Emily. I mean, I've said five things to her. Did I block her?
Yeah?
Timmer and I did it at the same time. I mean, but this is a fun, positive year.
She did something. She did something. I don't really know what she did, but we decided to block her.
Yeah. So then Bronwyn and Sean are coming, and he's like, is it weird to bring a gift to somebody you don't even know? Like, this is nuts. No. And then we get a shot of some girl, I don't know who it is,
yes,
by the bar, pounding back a bottle of champagne straight from the bottle. Yes.
She's like auditioning. She's like, I am ready to be part of this cast.
I don't know who you are, but I'm going to guess that you were invited by Ryan.
Yes, I would say so. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so Sean and Bronwyn arrive, and Tamara just gives her that signature Tamara look where she gives like the half smile and just hates this woman because she's pretty, and she seems like she has a fun personality, and like already Tamara senses a threat.
And she's tinier than Tamara.
Mm-hmm. Which Tamara's happy to point out.
Yeah, that's not gonna that's not a good sign for you, Bronwyn.
And the moment that like Bronwyn said, oh, I'm gonna go out and get a drink, as soon as she was gone, Tamara's like, who wants a Tars? Who wants a Tars? So she like obviously was like, I'm not inviting Bronwyn to see a tour of my house.
She kept her out of it. And she's like, I just don't know what's even staircase money is. It's got so many staircases. Oh my god, someone who's impressed with their own stairs is really nouveau.
Yeah, like, settle down, MC Escher, okay? It's just a staircase.
So then Bronwyn is talking to Shannon, and Shannon's like, well, I got married late, you know, 36. Then I got pregnant on the honeymoon. Then I got pregnant with the twins right after that. I mean, Def Leppard.
What'd she
say? Something about Def Leppard?
She conceived Sophie after the honeymoon. And I guess, were the twins the ones that she conceived after a Def Leppard concert?
Oh, yeah.
So she's like, yeah, the other ones, it's right after a Def Leppard concert. And then Bronwyn's like, that's pretty badass. That's a good story. And I was like, yeah, that is crazy. Like, just getting drunk at a Def Leppard concert and, like, conceiving. And then I was like, that was, like, 14 years ago. That was 2005 Def Leppard concert.
Yeah.
Sort of doesn't really have the same, like, allure as, like, yeah, it was the 80s. Things were wild. We were just, like, in the back of my old Dodge Dart. And then, like, Pour Some Sugar on Me came on. And next thing you know, I had twins. It's like, it was 2005, 4 years out from 9/11, 3 years before the financial crisis, and yes. Def Leppard hadn't had a hit in 20 years, and boom, I was pregnant.
Yeah, I see the Best Western. I can see the sadness of this. So then Ryan is talking to Emily, and he's like, where's your husband? And she's like, where's what? Oh, what? You mean the little thing? He's studying for the bar exam. He's studying. He's like, well, I guess we won't have beers together then. She's like, well, like, he idiot. Doesn't drink anyway. He's Mormon.
I'm like, first of all, you know that Ryan, it's like, Ryan, you know the bar exam has nothing to do with drinking, right? Okay. Second of all, yeah, Emily's just like looking at Ryan like, you're trash. Yeah. You're just such trash. And I have cutouts, okay? And you're trash.
Yeah. So then,
by the way, in the middle of all this, this couple walked in and they got a full chyron. It said like Cheryl and Michael, which is coincidentally the name of my aunt and uncle. Cheryl and Michael, Tamara's friends, and they got like a whole chyron, and then that was it. Was there a reason behind that? Do we know?
Maybe Cheryl will be a friend of or something this year. Who knows?
Surprised. Yeah.
I have no idea. So then we see Kelly talking to Bronwyn. She's like, this girl I don't like is coming. I don't want to talk to her. I don't want to. And Bron was just like, what am I doing with my life? Like, what is this?
So Tamara's talking to Shannon. I guess Tamara's talking about how like Vicky's planning to bring up some sort of pig video, which we have not heard about yet. We're like, a pig video. And so Tamara and Shannon pull up this video that Kelly sent to Vicky, that it was like a pig emoji. I don't even know how to do this, by the way, but I know it's a thing you can do where you can animate an emoji. And we just see this pig emoji.
It's just one of those things at the bottom of your text. You know how you add a GIF?
Yeah.
It's one of those things. I think it's a monkey. I think it's the face of a monkey. And then it reads your face, and then you can do a cartoon character. Like, I have my own emoji. I'm very thin in it. It's like a wishes emoji. It's like me thin and bald.
I don't have the monkey. I'm looking right now. I have
You don't? I think it's a monkey. Let me look. This recap's already.
I have like
Verizon.
Okay. I have the Verizon logo. Like, hey, you want to send your friend something interesting about Verizon?
Here, I'm gonna do a text to Ben, and I'm gonna press the application window thing, and it's a little monkey. Four? And I'm gonna do it in my face. I'm gonna say, "Hey, bitch."
I literally don't have the monkey.
Okay, send. Okay, now you can see what it's like. It's called an animoji. So
no,
anyway,
I know, but I don't have the monkey, and it makes me really sad.
Oh, you have to go over then and put it in your where it says more, all the way at the end. Slide them over and then add it.
I looked. It's there. There's no monkey in my more menu.
Do you have Face ID or do you have Finger Touch ID?
What?
Do you have Face ID on your phone, or do you have the thing where you put your fingerprint in to unlock
fingerprint.
Your phone?
Fingerprint. Oh, is it maybe because I have an iPhone 8?
Yeah. Sorry. Sorry we wasted everyone's time when Ben's phone is just...
Well, guess what, Ronnie? I'm going to send you something lovely from Verizon, which will be like, check out the new Razer phone. Okay. Anyway, so
Kelly made
her
face
pig
a
video.
Pig, and then she's telling off Vicky in it. And she's like, you want to text me, you fucking pig bitch? Don't text me. Don't write me. Don't text
me. You
want to
fuck with me? You want to fuck with me, you little pig of a fucking bitch? That's exactly what's going to happen to you. Don't fucking text me. Don't write me. You block me? I can do whatever I want. Ha, 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 ha. And it was just so hilarious because it's sort of like a vile message, but the fact that it's being spoken with a pig is amazing.
And it's just so fucking Kelly. You know, it's like, go as low as you possibly can. Good. So Tamara's like, sorry, but that's funny. And so she explains to us, she's like, well, Slid Smiley called Vicky Miss Peggy on stage. And Kelly knows that that's why Vicky got a nose done. I mean, it's a low blah. It's a low blah.
I was so proud. I was so proud.
Yes. So Vicky is like, well, that's terrible. That's terrible. Like, oh my God. And Vicky comes in. She's like, yes. Hello? Hello?
This is like when the T-Rex finally arrived at Jurassic Park. It's like we saw like water glasses shaking.
Yeah.
You know? We saw Ryan's little like canister of dip. Moving around.
Yeah, our first Vicky scene of the season as friend of.
Yeah.
So she's, of course, no one's there to greet Vicky because she's terrible at entrances, even at her own parties. You know, she can never just get an entrance down. So everyone's ignoring her and Tamara's hiding. And she's like, I need a shot. And Kelly sees her from outside and she goes, she looks like a Sasquatch.
Oh, God. Vicky's here. So, Vicky joins the group. She's like, hi, I've been working. I'm working. Get a job. And everyone's like, hi. And Kelly just leaves immediately. And it just was like this little montage of like Vicky going to various spots around the backyard and Kelly just immediately leaving.
Yeah. So then Vicky comes to meet all the girls and she just completely ignores Bronwyn.
Totally.
Like, completely won't even look at her.
Yeah.
And Gina's like, oh, okay, you're not going to meet her? Okay, then. And Gina goes, not today. I guess it's not today. That's Vicky.
So then Sean is talking about his necklace, and he's like, yeah, it has, like, spirals from Hawaii. It represents spirals. And Vicky's like, oh, looks like a snail. And Brahma's like, is she, like, flirting with Sean? Because he's, like, young enough to be her son. I'm like, I can't process any of this right now.
You don't think he's young enough?
Or just like the idea of Vicky hitting on Sean, but I'm also like, I don't think she was hitting on Sean.
She kind of was. She's like, it's a snail. Oh, really? Well, you're a nice guy. She's like kind of grabbing his arms. I was like, Get away, Vicky.
Yeah.
So Bronwyn is already about to kick her ass, you know? So Kelly's like, just go talk to Vicky. Go do it. Go talk to her now. So they finally introduce Ron to Vicky, and Vicky's like, oh, hello. Hello. Probably doesn't have a job, okay, because you wasted your life giving it to some man, unlike me, who owns everything that I have. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah.
Great to meet you.
It's really nice that your husband has a necklace that represents what your marriage is going to do. Downward spiral.
Talk to me in 5 years. How about that? Talk to me in 5 years.
So Shannon's like, she's so nice. You're going to love her. And so then there's just like more awkwardness with Kelly and Vicky and like just like Vicky is, it's just like two magnets that are like opposed. Their polarity is like whatever, pushing each other away. I don't know why I'm talking about magnets right now. Maybe it's because Insane Clown Posse just released a new album today or something. But
oh God.
Either way.
So they all start walking away from the table, just leaving Vicky and Tamara there. And Emily's the last one standing. And she's like, you know, I've got to go to the bathroom. And Vicky's like, oh God, not you too.
Not you too.
And Gina's like, Tamara's like, you should have had a clear Rebecca.
So, so now, like, Kelly's inside in the kitchen and talking about this, like, pig emoji thing that she sent. And she's basically like, you know, what Vicky's not telling you is that before I sent that, Vicky sent me a whole big text message saying, like, don't write this. You're not allowed to say that. Da-da-da-da-da. Like, you can't do this. You can't do that. So she's like, so I just sent a pig emoji because I don't want to type out a whole dissertation about why she's a piece of shit. I just sent a mirror image of what she looks like. So, oink, oink.
Oh, my God. Oink. So then we get a shot of Steve just standing alone in the living room, staring up at the family photo creepily. It's like this big family portrait thing that's over the fireplace, and he's just standing there staring at it.
It was like reminiscent of Ghostbusters 2 when that guy's staring at the painting, and then it comes alive and spreads slime all over the city. I was like, okay, that's what's going to happen with Tamara.
Yeah, that's Tamara, all right. but Steve's such a creeper, that guy.
He is. It was such an odd shot. Just
the husbands
staring.
On this show just suck. I mean, there's Prince shitty husbands on every Housewives, but this one, they're all just gross. I mean, Bronwyn's, we haven't decided. Jury's still out, but the rest of them, yikes. So yeah. Tamara and Vicky are talking, and Tamara's like, well, are you going to go talk to her? And she's like, of course I am. I mean, I just don't understand what's going on. I mean, she texts me, I forgive you, everything's fine. And then people keep talking about it, and then she just gets all riled up and lights a fire. And Tamara's like, yeah, but saying someone does cocaine. It's like, yeah, but she does. She did. I'm like, okay, then don't fucking go apologize, Vicky. Like, yeah. You're still going to come on TV and say the same fucking thing.
Yeah, exactly. So,
it's like, classic. She got me fat! Because Tamara's trying to stick up for Kelly. She's like, God! She got me fat, Bella!
And then she's like, well, can you fix your friendship? And Vicky's like, I don't know.
And so, Tamara's advice is, retaliation isn't the best, Vicky. And Vicky goes, okay, try that, Tamara. Why did you try that? Huh?
Yeah, exactly. So now Shannon is talking to Kelly, and she's like, well, you know, Kelly, you did make a comment on Instagram where you said her face was melting like cream cheese in an oven wrapped in salmon. Kelly's like, no, I didn't say her face was melting. I just said that her facelift malfunctioned. That's all. She's a malfunctioning face.
Yeah, it was malfunctioning.
So I like she has, like, she's just like, whatever. I don't give a fuck. Like, no. I didn't say that mean thing about Vicky. I said something actually a little meaner, and I'm proud of it.
Yeah, and Shannon says, well, then she texted you and asked you to please remove it. And she goes, no. There was no please. She ordered it.
Yeah. So she like made all these demands, etc. And so, now, of course, Tamara's doing this thing that she loves doing. She's like, well, maybe, like, you, like, Vicky and Kelly, like, maybe Vicky, like, you should talk with Kelly, whatever. She's, like, going under the guise of trying to fix this friendship. She's going to have them talk just so, you know, basically they have a scene at her house.
Yes, yeah, so she's going to make them talk. And Vicky's like, well, don't leave me out here alone! So she goes in to try and get Kelly. She's like, I just had a convo about you and her, and she said she'd like to talk to you. I don't want to talk to her. Just hear what she has to say and walk away. Just hear what she has to say. Well, now Kelly knows what Tamara's game is, you know, because she's already played it for this many years. So she's like, no, I don't want to.
Yeah. Nothing to say to her. So she's like, you know, they hated Vicky forever, and now like they're gonna take her side over mine. It's not cool. You're a dork.
So then we cut to Eddie and Steve talking, and I don't know who Eddie's talking to, but he's like, "You should do a tequila. Ladies need more tequila. So what is happening? Did they drug out every husband on the show today? Everyone's disgusting today.
Oh, I thought he said, ladies, we need more tequila.
Oh, okay. Well, I hope so, because I was like, what? Not that even what I thought he said was bad. I just don't know what's going on with anybody.
I was like, it's an Eddie and Steve scene. I don't think I would pay that much attention to this right now.
Yeah, that's good advice. Now, there's some good advice.
Yeah, so Tamara goes and tells Vicky that Kelly doesn't want to talk, and that if Vicky wants to talk to Kelly, she has to do it herself. So Vicky's like, okay, fine. She's like, why are you being on her side right now? Don't be on her side right now. Don't be on her side right now. Don't be on her side right now. Don't side with her right now.
She's like, she's not innocent in this. We were both wrong. We were both wrong. Which is always what Vicky says. Always. In every single argument ever. She never apologizes. It's always, we were both wrong. We were both wrong. And Shannon's like, well, if you say, what can I do to make this better? Go do it. Go do it. Tamara's like, don't be a dick. Don't be a dick. You guys have to handle my back on this. You have to have my back. You have to have my back on this. And so she goes over there.
Why is it me always apologizing? Why is it always me? Because you're always the one putting your big ass foot in your mouth.
Yes. So then Vicky's like, Kelly, can we talk? And she's like, I don't have anything to say to you, Vicky. And then we begin the chase.
Yeah, which is like even more hilarious since Vicky is dressed like a Sasquatch. So it's like this like weird, slow moving like thing where like Vicky, like, Kelly's just trying to get away from Vicky, just like walking from room to room. And Vicky, like furry Vicky, is just like going like on her heels saying, no, you sent me a text that you want to move on. You want to move on. But like, what changed? What happened? Did you get a job? Yeah, job.
And Kelly's just going, no, not today. And just keeps walking away. And then so Vicky switches gears and she's like, what do you think? You're a beauty queen? What are you, a beauty queen? You should never talk to women like that. And Kelly's like, oh, just go, Vicky. Just go, Vicky.
Get out of my face. I have nothing to say to you. Vicky. Leave me alone.
But I care about you. I care about you, Kelly. She's like, no, you don't. No, you don't.
No, of course I did. I care. I mean, I do care about you a lot, Kelly. And she's like, you don't understand what you've done to me. You've hurt my daughter. Do you understand? Have you ever seen me do cocaine? Have you ever seen me do that? No.
Dun dun dun. And that brings us the end to the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Whoa. Thank you to everybody who's with us, and thanks to everybody who's with us on video. Hi over there.
Why?
Do you guys want these videos? Go to Patreon. You know what? Go get your live show tickets. Everything can be found at watchwhatcrappens.com. Okay? We'll talk to you next time. Love you guys.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Lisa Snowden here. My new podcast, Things I Told My Daughter, is brought to you by the new H&M Kidswear range. Now, not only can you dress your children in their favorite styles, but also yourself too. Not only that, but 100% of all kidswear cotton is now sustainably sourced. So now's the time to enjoy the great prices, such as long sleeve dresses from $2.99, interactive sequin tops from just $7.99, jumpers from $8.99, and outerwear from $14.99. Listen to Things I Told My Daughter with me, Lisa Snowden, on whatever app you're listening to this on.